Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Band East Medical Center. I'm your host, Lori Foster, and June is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. Today on our program, we're going to be speaking with one of our providers who specializes in the treatment of PTSD. Before we do, I have just a couple of announcements. They are celebrations that I want to share. We have had some retirements in the past week, and we have one coming up this week. And I certainly want to honor and acknowledge those employees. Congratulations to Cindy Angstrom, who recently retired from our materials management department. Last week, we held a reception for her. We want to thank her for her dedication and years of service and wish her the best in her retirement. Another Cindy we have retiring is registered nurse Cindy Sinclair, and she is going to be retiring this week. We will be hosting a reception to honor Cindy's 34 years of service to our hospital. Tomorrow, at June 27th, we have a reception in our Garden View Cafe from 1:30 to 3:30, and we certainly invite you to attend. Again, congratulations to both Cindy Angstrom and Cindy Sinclair for their years of service here at Band East Medical Center. And with that, we are going to dive right into our program today. We have so much to talk about with this topic. As I mentioned, June is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. And this is an opportunity to spread the word that effective PTSD treatments are available. Joining us for today's program is psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner Julie Trout, who specializes in the treatment of PTSD. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you for having me.
This is a really important topic to be talking about, and so I love that you have lots of information to share. Let's start with PTSD. What is it, and how is it diagnosed?
Yeah, so PTSD, as you've mentioned before, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a mental health illness that some people develop after experiencing or witnessing a traumatic event or a series of events or certain circumstances. These might include natural disasters, serious accidents, people in combat, terrorist attacks, assaults, bullying, intimate partner violence, many things that people can consider traumatic, death of a loved one by homicide, suicide, something like that. Back in the earlier days, it used to be called shell shock or combat fatigue back in the World Wars because it was thought to just be veterans. But through the years, we have determined that it's not just veterans who are affected to PTSD. It can occur to all persons at any age and time. So typically what happens is a traumatic event occurs. They go into what we will diagnose initially in an adjustment disorder, where that following immediately after that traumatic event, and then eventually they develop into a post-traumatic stress disorder because it lingers for so long and it stays with them and it affects them greatly. A fun fact, or not maybe a fun fact, women do have a slightly higher prevalence rate for diagnosis for PTSD, but I do have to speculate that's probably because there's a lot more women who seek treatment than men. We have a very much set in our mindset in today's is that men should be men and they should be able to just handle it, which is not the case, obviously.
Definitely not the case.
Right. So symptoms of PTSD, often they have intense, disturbing thoughts or feelings related to an experience, even long after the incident has originally occurred. They relive the events through flashbacks, re-traumatization, just the thinking of it. Sometimes they even, a lot of them experience nightmares. Where they relive those events over and over again. Some of them may have intense varying emotions, anger, frustration, upset related to those events. Or sometimes people will detach or kind of estrange themselves from people because they don't know how to handle it anymore. They will avoid things more often than not related to or what they perceive to be related to that traumatic event. So say something happened at a grocery store that was traumatic, they can't go back to the grocery store anymore, mm-hmm. because anytime they go there, they start to have like a visceral response, an anxious response of like, this is danger, and they go into that fight or flight mode. So what how I describe it to a lot of my patients is you have this traumatic event and you get stuck, your brain gets stuck in this fight or flight mode. You're in that fight or flight mode of, I constantly have to be on guard. I constantly have to be at the ready for some other danger to come at me. So they tend to be very startled when something happens, mm-hmm. even if it's a small touch from a loved one, they are very startled by that and can jump into that startle response because of it.
Well, it makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah.
First thing I was thinking as you were sharing this is protective mode.
Yeah.
You just want to go into protective mode.
That's
if you've
exactly
had,
it.
I mean, whether it's, like you say, a natural disaster that's occurred, which, my gosh, we've experienced that around here, around the state of Iowa.
Right.
Or if it's related to something else, like to me, that would just be the natural, mm-hmm. you know, first instinct.
Mm-hmm. And it is. And some people are able to get out of that.
Right.
The problem becomes when they get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell my patients. The problem becomes when we get stuck in that mode and we're constantly living in that fearful mode. You can only stay tense and uptight for so long before it wears you down physically.
Right.
And obviously mentally. So that's what I tell my patients is you get stuck in that fight or flight mode.
So are there different types or severities of PTSD?
Yeah. So similar to what I was just saying, you know, typically once you have a traumatic incident or event, personally, I typically diagnose people with an adjustment disorder because we're adjusting to a new traumatic event that's happened. Usually if that lingers for more than 6 months or so, I then will start looking at a post-traumatic stress disorder, a more new term that's come out recently within the last couple of years is complex PTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. So that is geared towards people who have reoccurring chronic trauma. So you think, unfortunately, we have it happen in the world, but young kids who experience abuse,
mm-hmm.
right, constantly living in that family environment where that abuse is happening daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it might be, that reoccurring trauma. They tend to develop more of a complex PTSD. So they experience a lot more emotional dysregulation. They have a lot more interpersonal relationship problems. And then they have the same PTSD symptoms, the reliving, the nightmares, that startle response. And so those typically are the ones that you're thinking of when you think of the different types of PTSD.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you see patients, some that will come forward immediately after a traumatic event, but some that just maybe tuck it away, think they are handling it, and then realize years later that maybe they need to seek some help. Or
yeah.
maybe they don't even know that
right.
it's stemming from a previous mm-hmm. event.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I think a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, but some people experience right away. They have those mm-hmm. symptoms where they come up right away. And like I said, some people don't need to seek treatment. They can work it out with themselves, with family and friends support, whatever kind of support system they might have. They might be able to process through that on their own. Other people, like I said, get stuck in it and they can't. Some people don't dissociate, or they do dissociate right away, and they kind of distance themselves, like I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
distancing themselves, right? Oh, that didn't happen to me, that happened to somebody else. And then years later, like you're talking about, they'll be like, well, I'm starting to remember something, or I have this weird feeling, or something happened, and they start to kind of come to light or realize that it is affecting them a lot more in their relationships, in their home life, whatever it might be, and they realize that they need to seek help at that point.
And that is what is so important to talk about, is that there is help available and there are treatments available. And I want to make sure that we allow plenty of time to talk about some of those treatment options. For you, for your patients, what do you have, or what do you find are effective, maybe most effective treatments for PTSD?
So honestly, most of my approach with most of my patients is I look at it like a circle. So if you all imagine a circle, right? Split that circle in half. Think medications is one side, medication management can be one side, and then therapy is the other side. Together it makes a whole, right? And then what we do is we wrap it in a net of support. Those are the people that we have, the support groups, the people that care for us, friends, family, pastors, whoever might be in your life to be your support person, then they wrap us. And that is the perfect model that I envision when I treat my patients. So for PTSD, yes, I specialize in medication management. There are medications which treat the symptoms of PTSD. So the emotional dysregulation part, the anxiety that can come up from situations, nightmares. There's actually specific medications that treat nightmares for PTSD. Yeah, that's one of the areas that we use. So antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications to treat kind of the symptoms. And then the particular medication that I'm speaking of for nightmares is called Minipress or Prazosin. And it's specifically, it's actually a blood pressure medication, which we have found is beneficial in treating nightmares for patients with PTSD.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful to have those options. Mm-hmm. How about the different types of therapy that would be available for this condition?
Yeah, so I think for one, it's so important to find the right therapist. Therapist, I tell my patients, is like finding the right car. You kind of got to test drive some to find the right fit for you. In particular, with patients who struggle with trauma, you need to find a therapist who specializes in trauma therapy. That's one thing. They need to be specialized in trauma therapy. So what that can look like is trauma-focused CBT therapy, so cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a fancy way to say talk therapy, if you will. Some kind of backstory on that is that looks at how your thoughts affect your feelings, which then affect your behaviors, which then affect your thoughts. So think of it in a big circle, mm-hmm. and they all have arrows pointing to each other, right? Your behaviors are going to affect your thoughts, your feelings, and your feelings are then going to impact your behaviors, right? And so what they do is they work with patients to be able to change those painful or negative emotions, particularly tied to the trauma, right? The shame, the guilt, whatever feeling we might have related to that trauma. And they work with us to change that. And they also work with us to change the belief of I'm worthless or the world is a dangerous place. And so this special therapist who's specialized in that particular area will work with you on changing those feelings and beliefs, which will then change the behaviors that mm-hmm. go along with it. Again, wanting someone to be who specializes in trauma is the most important piece. I particularly do not do trauma-informed CBT. I do more of a basic talk therapy is okay. what I do. The other piece to that is another form of therapy is EMDR, or eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. This is a specifically trauma-focused therapy that therapists will go beyond their schooling to get specialized into. Typically, this is a three-month process is what I can kind of find the research on, is it's usually about a three-month process. And it works with people on reprocessing the memory. And how that works is they have found through the research that by interconnecting your right and your left hemisphere of your brain back and forth, which is where you get the eye movement desensitization, mm-hmm. it will help you reprocess that traumatic memory. So take you out of that fight or flight mode and into a more relaxed state. And that's, again, through like moving the finger back and forth, or sensation by touching on the right or left side, or even hearing noises right and left. But somehow connecting that right and left hemisphere of the brain has been able to help people reprocess that trauma to be able to come out of that fight or flight mode.
Mm-hmm. Great explanation of sharing. I thought your visual, too, like you said, taking a circle, splitting it in half, talking. You talked about the medication part, the therapy part, and then that support group mm-hmm. that surrounds, you know, each of us has, you know, that circle mm-hmm. Of support, and that's a critical piece of it too. So what could a person expect during therapy sessions yeah. for PTSD?
For sure. I think it's important to kind of know that layout beforehand. Obviously, with a CBT-based therapy, you're going to go in and you're going to meet with your therapist. Usually that first session will look like getting to know each other, set up what the goals and the plans are moving forward, and then after that meeting weekly, bi-weekly with your therapist to kind of, again, change those negative emotions or beliefs that you have related to that trauma to help you hopefully work through and confront those that traumatic event, right? With EMDR, oftentimes you don't even have to explain the traumatic event to your therapist, because sometimes that's really hard for people, right, to relive that by telling someone that experience again. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing about the EMDR is you don't even have to do that. You just have to think it, right? And that's a lot easier than expressing it to other people. You can think that negative, and you don't even have to think about the whole situation, but think about how you're feeling during that situation and working through the reprocessing. Now, that being said, oftentimes what I hear a lot of patients who do go through EMDR is there are periods where we get more worked up before we get better, because you're reliving mm-hmm. that situation over again. And so rightfully so, we kind of get a little bit more fight or flight mode, and then eventually we kind of come out of it and kind of work our way through it and say, okay, it's not that way anymore, mm-hmm. right?
Kind of a leveling off.
Exactly, exactly. So that's what I hear a lot of patients when they do the EMDR, is oftentimes they have a heightened period and then it kind of comes back down.
It's different, I'm sure, for each person.
Mm-hmm.
How long might treatment last?
Well, like I said, with EMDR, what I'm seeing is roughly like 3 months, but I mean, CBT, I would say probably 6 months to a year. I mean, that's a realistic probably expectation for anyone for therapy. The thing with therapy is it doesn't just, you know, oh, you've reached your time, it's done,
yeah.
right? So more often than not, when you've established with a therapist, they help you work through those goals of what you want to accomplish. And then when you get to that point of like, hey, I'm ready to be, you know, maybe a little bit more, then they'll loosen those reins a little bit, right? Maybe we don't see each other every week or every other week. Maybe see each other once a month. And then maybe it becomes every 3 months. And then maybe it's just, hey, I don't actually need to see you anymore. And the patient says, I'm ready to be on my own. Mm-hmm. And then maybe years later, the patient's like, hey, I need to come back.
I
and
need
you
to
come,
check in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you come back and check in. So, I mean, it'll vary depending on the patient. Like you said, every patient has individual treatment plan, essentially. I mean, with
right.
meds and with therapy, everyone is individualized.
And if somebody is listening to the program, knows that they maybe should seek some help, or they know somebody that could benefit, where do they start? Do they start on the medication? They start on the therapy? Where's the best place for them to start?
I mean, you can always call Van Deest and make an appointment to see myself in person here at the Webster City Clinic, or we have a telehealth option. We have Krista, who does telehealth. You could always start there, and we can always make that referral to a therapist if that's where we need to start.
Very good. And we'll make sure that we cover more of that before we close out the program. But I do want to mention to listeners, we do have providers available, both in person and virtual, for conditions like this. And so, as Julie mentioned, Krista Johnson is also a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner who does medication management too. And she does see patients virtually. So we have both of those options. You know, we talked about that support group. Are there additional support groups for individuals specifically with PTSD?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can find the support group just about for anything these days. So,
thankfully.
Yes, thankfully. You know, I'm not familiar with specific titles of support groups, but I did find some definite resources that I think can be very beneficial to people. Obviously, NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness, is always a great place to start. They do have individual counties, specific areas, so you can look directly in your area for support groups for them. The nice thing about NAMI is they have family support groups as well. So family members who have family members that are struggling with mental mm-hmm. health, they can also have support groups for themselves. Here in Hamilton County, specifically Hamilton County Central Iowa Community Services is a great resource tool that I think a lot of people don't realize they have access to. If you ever hear us say CICS, that's what we're referencing. Specifically Hamilton County would service the Hamilton County area. And then I think each county has their own individual area, if you will, like that. That's a great resource to use. And then the other one that I found online, if you don't want to call somebody, you can go to findhelp.org. So spell findhelp.org. And you can type in your specific area and it will come up with lists of support groups within your area.
Very good. Thank you for sharing those resources. I want to make sure we touch on some coping strategies too.
Yep. Yeah.
So what coping strategies can help manage PTSD symptoms?
So I think really it's, and I don't know if I'm just doing away with the term coping strategies as more of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to, is self-care, right? I talk a lot with a lot of my patients because they reference it as their bucket, right? I only have so much in my bucket to give, and then I need to replenish it. And self-care helps you replenish your own bucket, right? So any kind of thing that you enjoy doing, you find joy in doing, be it puzzles, you know, yoga, acupuncture. I mean, there are animal assistant therapy places out there anymore. I know that there is an equestrian, a horse mm-hmm. therapy place based down in Ames, and they do horse therapy for patients. So, I mean, if you can think about it, there's probably something out there that you can do these days that involves some kind of something that you can find joy out of.
Mm-hmm. That does replenish. That does refill your bucket. We all need it.
Yeah.
And we all need to be better at taking that time, like identifying what that mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. and taking time for yourself to do that.
Yeah.
There is nothing selfish about that.
No.
Again, it's filling up your bucket.
Well, and when you think about it, it is the one thing you can control. The one thing you can control, and I tell my patients this all the time too, the one thing you control is yourself. You can only control yourself. You can't control your wife, your husband, your kids. Anyone else. The only person you can control is yourself, your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings. So focus on that. And by doing the self-care, again, it's not selfish. You're taking care of you so that you can take care of others.
That's what I say. It makes you a better you mm-hmm. to care for everyone else.
Exactly.
And whoever that is in your life.
Right.
So amen to that. Mm-hmm. How can family and friends support someone with PTSD?
Honestly, I think just being there for them and letting them know. Maybe not, you know, if right after an event, just, you know, I think a lot of people say, I'm sorry, which is the mandatory response most people have, right? I'm sorry that you experienced this. Sometimes it's not even saying anything. It's just sitting mm-hmm. with a person and just knowing or letting them know that you're there if they need to talk or they want something, you're there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So showing up for them, right? Showing up for them and whatever that might mean for you and your friend or family member, showing up for them in that way to say, hey, I'm here no matter what. I've got you.
Right. And like you said, listening. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't mean that you have to be the one doing the talking
right.
or coming up with the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes for people, it's just talking and mm-hmm. getting that out. And
right.
It doesn't require a response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, very, very true. That oftentimes we just need people to hear us, be it venting, be it whatever. We just need people to hear us and say nothing,
mm-hmm.
just to be there.
Just to be there. And mm-hmm. I'm here for you.
Yep.
Any lifestyle changes?
I always try and push on my patients. Obviously, if you are healthy physically, you're going to be a little bit more mentally healthy because they are very much intertwined, your physical health and your mental health. So, you know, are you eating the right kinds of foods? Are you getting that exercise that you need? Even if it's 5 minutes, I'm not asking you to set a whole hour of your day away, like 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, or starting small. Start with 5 minutes and then just slowly work your way up to longer periods of time. But getting out, walking is a great way to just have some self-care. Get mm-hmm. out, walk, be in nature, or walk inside if that's what you like. But movement is important to our life and our health.
Most definitely it is. Julie, just a wealth of information on this topic. I know you specialize in the treatment of PTSD. There are other conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just share with listeners other conditions that you provide support for.
I treat a multitude of mental health illnesses, depression, anxiety, ADHD, PTSD, like you mentioned, schizophrenia, bipolar. Pretty well, if it's in the mental health diagnosis, I am able to treat that diagnosis.
Fantastic. Julie is a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. She currently sees patients at Vandy's Family Health Clinic here in Webster City, but you do have an exciting announcement to share coming up in July.
That's right. As of July 25th, starting that day on Thursdays, I will be down in Stratford at the Satellite Clinic.
Providing services there.
Yep.
Yes. So if, again, if you're a person that would like to schedule an appointment for you, maybe it's suggesting it to someone else. Julie is available. You can call 515-832-7800 and she will be seeing patients both in Webster City and in Stratford beginning July 25th. And she does offer in-person visits. Julie, thank you so much for being on the program today. Anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, one thing I would love to share to people is, you know, you might be struggling, and I just urge you to give us a call or to call somebody. Just start that process in seeking the help that you need, because there is help out there for you. And I think a lot of times people lose sight of that, and sometimes we just need to rehear that there is help. And so just reach out, be it friend, family, or to us here at Van Deese Medical Center. I would love to help you. So thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
Thanks again for being on the show. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.